three things you should know about the Vox YouTube adpocalypse.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Frazier Show.
What is up, Free Market Squad? It's your boy Nathan Frazier, High Priest of Propaganda, back up in this bitch. And we've got another episode of BYO Boss Podcast coming your way. Today, we're going to be talking about this latest round of YouTube adpocalypse. Now, unless you've been living under a rock this last week, you've probably heard all about it. But in case you haven't, let's start off with a quick recap. So there's this dude from Vox Media named Carlos Maza. He's a Latino, a proud socialist, and he's gay. And I only bring these things up because they're the things he built his personal brand around. These are the things that he makes sure you know about him. These are not the things that I give two shits about. Vox, the employer of Carlos Maza, is a far-left media outlet who, like most other far-left outlets, is hemorrhaging money in the current year. In fact, they're in the middle right now of an employee walkout because they can't afford to pay enough to keep their writers happy. And I think the reason for this is they target a very small market, the far left audience who tends to be very cozy with ideals of Marxism and socialism. And that's a market that hates paying for things. So thus, Vox is on the brink of closing their doors for good. And in the past, far-left media didn't really have to worry about competition or criticism. Their mindset was pretty much the mindset that dominated the airwaves. They were in bed with the government regulators, so their opinions went almost unopposed. That, of course, was before the invention of YouTube and social media. Now, enter Steven Crowder. No homo. Steven is a popular YouTube commentator and an unapologetic conservative. And I wouldn't say that he's a far-right conservative, but he definitely fancies himself a comedian. So his content is, well, it's on the edgy side. Let's just say that. Now, full disclosure, I don't like Steven Crowder. I think he's got a whiny voice, and I hear that he's kind of a dick to work for. That being said, he is pretty good at doing rebuttal videos when people say stupid shit on the internet. And in those rebuttal videos, he often poisons his own position by making subtle personal attacks on the people he's rebutting. And one of the people he likes to rebut is good old Carlos Maza from Vox Media. Now, Carlos puts out a lot of idiotic content, and it's a goldmine for Crowder and company. And as is his style, Steven has made plenty of jabs at Carlos's personal identity while tearing apart Carlos's stupid ideas. And in doing so, he's called Carlos a lispy gay, a gay Mexican, and a number of other inflammatory insults. Now, like I said, not my cup of tea, but nothing that I would consider to be hate speech either. Calling a gay guy gay is hardly hate speech, and calling a Cuban Mexican, it might be insulting. It's definitely inaccurate, but I wouldn't consider it to be like a racial slur. As somebody who grew up in a Mexican household, I take offense at the idea that Mexican is an offensive slur. I take offense to your offense, sir. anyways, here's some things you should know about Carlos Maza, though. On Twitter, he's called for throwing milkshakes at people he disagrees with. He's slandered or libeled. I think it's slander. Because it's Twitter. It's written. He's libeled Tucker Carlson as a white supremacist. And he also goes by the Twitter handle Gay Wonk. So the idea that he felt assaulted by Steven Crowder calling him gay seems a bit unbelievable. Now, for this last week or so, Carlos went scorched earth on YouTube. Him and the company he works for, Vox, they mounted a full-on attack that resulted in the demonetization of thousands of YouTube videos and channels. He and Vox went after advertisers. And they kind of caused YouTube to overcorrect and punish all kinds of creators, not just Steven Crowder. History teachers got caught up in the net. Multiple journalists and commentators felt the backlash. One creator who only uploads videos of snowstorms and rainstorms got his channel demonetized. And all of this is because Carlos Maza didn't like his ideas being criticized and decided to weaponize his identity to get his way. Now, in the middle of all this madness, there are a few business lessons to be learned. And I'm going to go over those right now. So, number one, listen to your critics. Now, this is a hard one because people often mistake criticism for personal attacks. And if you do this, it's bad for business. Vox, BuzzFeed, CNN, MSNBC, and more are all facing major layoffs over the next few weeks or have been going through major layoffs. And a big part of the reason why is that they refuse to listen to their audience. And I get it. Criticism sucks, but it's vital for building a better product. If you don't listen when people tell you what's wrong with your offer, you're going to start losing sales. This is a major problem throughout most of the entertainment industry, not just the news. Major movie studios, comic book companies, video game producers, almost every form of entertainment has been guilty of ignoring the fans over the last few years. They hire people based on surface level features so that they can check off their diversity checklist points, and they sacrifice merit in order to virtue signal. And when the customers complain about plummeting quality, they call their customers Nazis and bigots. They shoehorn politics in when people only want to be entertained. And when the audience complains, again, it's because the audience is Nazis and bigots. If you get criticism, here's what you need to understand. It's because the customers are telling you what they want you to do in order for them to give you their money. Listen to them. Fix the issue. Do not call them Nazis and bigots. That's how you find yourself going out of business and watching all of your investments go down the drain. Business lesson number two to take away from this Vox YouTube adpocalypse. Man, I tongue-tied that one. Lesson number two is don't build your house on rented soil. Now, all of these YouTubers spent years building a house on YouTube's property. They put in thousands of hours of work building an audience on YouTube's platform. Their entire income is a result of YouTube placing ads in front of their videos. They went to bed one night with a nice place to live and woke up the next morning with an eviction notice. This is why I don't focus on YouTube. I do a podcast and I do a blog, and I pay for my website and I own my own podcast hosting business. It would be very difficult to take down my website, and it'd be almost impossible to take down my podcast. Yes, I ship post and I make a lot of sales on Facebook, but I also have a pretty big email list. So even if I get zucked, I'll still have access to my people. I'll still make sales. I own my email list. I own my own platforms. I use social media to drive people to the platforms I own. Relying on somebody else's platform to reach your people is a bad idea. And a bunch of YouTubers just learned that the hard way. Do not build your house on rented soil. Business lesson number three to learn out of this whole ordeal is that big corporations hate competition. What's funny about this is a lot of them, they love free speech. They love the access that the internet gives them until they become big. And once they get into the big boys club, they want to shut the door behind them. And that's what we're seeing happen right now. Most of this comes down to the fact that corporate media is losing its grasp over the minds of the public. And as their viewers leave, so do the advertisers. More people are watching people like Tim Pool and PewDiePie, and less people are watching commentators like Rachel Maddow and Sean Hannity. And even fewer people are watching B-rate, B-level commentators or journalists, if you want to, I guess, put that in quotes, like Carl's Mazza. Now, if you think these giant corporations are going to take it lying down, you're out of your goddamn mind. They can't compete. They can't offer a better product. They can't win on the marketplace of ideas, but they can lie, they can smear, and they can deplatform their competition. And that's what they're doing. The truth of the matter is, the news and mainstream media is just as guilty of anything they're blaming these YouTube guys of doing. The news fed us fake news for 2 years straight about Russian collusion conspiracy theories. They're no better than Alex Jones in that sense. History Channel airs Ancient Aliens, which is really no more credible than any flat earther channel on YouTube. And sponsors still line up to fill in the breaks of those TV shows with ads. So why should they not advertise on YouTube? Doesn't really make any sense to me why it's okay to advertise on MSNBC or why it's okay to advertise on Ancient Aliens, but it's not okay to advertise in front of an Alex Jones video. It's not okay to advertise in front of a flat earther video. That's ridiculous. This isn't really about stopping fake news or stopping hate speech. This is all about money and influence. Vox wants them advertising dollars. Carlos Mazza wants his ideas to go unchallenged. People on YouTube stand in the way. And even though those YouTubers built up an amazing house to compete against the mainstream media with, they still built it on someone else's land. And how will all of this end? I'm not sure. The smartest people on YouTube will realize that relying on ad revenue from YouTube is a bad idea. The mainstream media will probably continue to ignore what the market wants. After all, they've spent so much time dictating to the market what the market should want. Giving up that power now seems very unlikely. They'll thrash around like dinosaurs in the tar pits before eventually dying off. That's my best guess. But really, that's not the important question here. The important question here is, what will you do? Will you learn from the mistakes made by both sides in this conflict? Will you listen to your customer feedback? Will you ensure your business is built on property you control? Will you be smarter than to think that giant corporations will play fair with you once you pose a threat to their power? These are the questions that really matter. Anyways, my name's Nathan Fraser. I hope I gave you something to think about. I hope you enjoyed this rant. And if you did and you want to support my work, you should head on over to the Free Market Squad. Check that out. See if it's a right fit for you. That's freemarketsquad.com. That's my private community and support network. And if you enjoyed this podcast, you'd probably fit right in over there. So head on over to freemarketsquad.com. Check it out. See if it's right for you. And until next time, I'm out of here. Faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss. I'm out of here. Deuces.
Here's one thing a lot of business owners have to learn the hard way, and I want to help you save yourself some trouble, as does Nathan Fraser. And that is, it doesn't matter what you sell, because if you don't focus on how to sell it, you probably won't be selling very much of it. Sales are the fuel of any successful business, and if you want to keep your tank full, you need to check out Nathan's website at copyandfunnels.com.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.